الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال تعالى: يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, if we presently examine our condition, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with an abundance. There's abundant wealth, abundant comforts, abundant favors and gifts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But if there's anything that is missing in our lives, it is something which we term as barakah and blessings. Very often we would hear this word barakah. It's a very short word with a very vast meaning to it. Barakah and blessings is that magical ingredient and component that if a person has got barakah, then even though he may have a little wealth, but that little wealth becomes sufficient to fulfill his needs. That little wealth will bring about comfort, it will bring about peace, it will bring about contentment and fulfillment. That little wealth will bring about very positive outcome for this person. With this little wealth, Allah will allow this person to do many, many things. That is barakah. And on the contrary, if a person does not have barakah, then he may have a large amount of wealth. He may have a lot of wealth. He may be a millionaire, he may be a billionaire. But there'll be no satisfaction. There'll be no contentment. There'll be no fulfillment. That wealth sometimes becomes a curse for him. That wealth becomes a cause for misery. That wealth will break people apart. It will break up family structures. And it will create disputes and fights and disagreements. Because there's no barakah and no blessings in that wealth. The solution to the financial problems of the entire world is barakah. As much as our minds go to kasrat, we project in our minds, I'm earning so much. If I earn 20,000 rand more, 30,000 rand more, 50,000 rand more, I would be set. No, not necessarily. Yes, what I need to concentrate on, what I need to be concerned on, is that what Allah blessed me, how can Allah put barakah in that? How can Allah Ta'ala put blessings in that? So that little bit also, so much comes out of it. So much of goodness comes out because there's barakah and blessings in that wealth. But the big question that arises now is, how do we get this barakah? We hear this term, we speak about it, but how do we get it in our lives? Every person wants this barakah. He wants these blessings. So this the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala Himself mentions, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Iman and taqwa. If you got iman, you got taqwa. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa, you know, just in a nutshell, taqwa is whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory on you, you fulfill that. And whatever Allah prohibited you from, you stay away from that. You carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You carry out the teachings of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially when it comes to your business. Especially when it comes to your profession. Remember, it is farz. It is necessary for any person doing any business or any profession for him to learn all the masail and all the rules that surround that. All the rules that pertain to that business. It is farz for him to get that knowledge. So this will be taqwa. Now you will carry out the injunctions of the Sharia, the teachings of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Conduct your business, your profession in accordance to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You follow the rules and Allah will bless you with the barakah. Allah will give you those blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deprive you. Because we have been blessed with such a beautiful Shariat, such a perfect and complete Shariat, every single guideline has already been given by Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the very inceptive, a person is earning wealth. What should be his outlook? What should be his intention? Every person going in the morning to earn a halal rozi. Remember, this is something that's also an obligation. Talabul halali, faridatun ba'da al-farida. After your other obligations, it's an obligation to earn a halal rozi. But what should be your outlook? What should be your intention? So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, مَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا إِسْتِعْفَافًا عَنِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ وَسَعْيًا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَتَعَتُّفًا عَلَىٰ جَارِهِ. That person who goes to earn the dunya and is particular about it being halal, but what mindset does he go with? What is his intention? إِسْتِعْفَافًا عَنِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. To save and protect himself from stretching his hands out to anyone. This is a very despicable and a very disgraceful thing. May Allah protect us all. That we never have to stretch our hands out to anyone. Like Allah protected our faces. That we never had to make sadda to anyone else. Allah must protect our hands. That we never have to ask anyone else. Allah must protect our tongues. So this is one of the things. Istighfafan in al-masala. To save yourself from begging. Wasa'yan ala ahlihi. Then to fulfill the rights of your family. You are the man of the house, you are the husband of the house, you are the father of the house. It is your responsibility. Don't throw your responsibility on your wife. Don't throw your responsibility on your daughters. No, it is your responsibility. وَسَعْيًا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. To fulfill the needs of his family. And remember, Islam is a religion of generosity. We are not selfish people. وَتَعَتُّفًا عَلَىٰ جَارِي. Also to show some consideration, some kindness to your neighbors, to people around you. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says regarding this person that لَقِيَ اللَّهُ وَوَجْهُهُ كَالْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدَرِ. On the day of Qiyamah, when this man will meet Allah, he will be so happy, his face will be shining like the full moon on the 14th night. Because just for correcting the outlook, correcting the intention, what's your intentions for earning this wealth? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says after that, وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا مُكَاثِرًا مُرَائِيًا. That person who goes and he seeks for the dunya and he's looking for halal, but مُكَاثِرًا مُرَائِيًا, his only intention, his only outlook is to increase his wealth, for him to amass more wealth, for him to get a higher bank balance. مُرَائِيًا, to show people. You know, he wants to show off. He wants to be the center of attraction. He wants to be the talk of the town. He wants to have a grand style function that everyone will be speaking about it. People must know what I am worth. People must know how much of wealth I have got. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this person is in a very serious problem. لَقِيَ اللَّهَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبَانِ. On the day of Qiyamah, when he meets Allah, Allah will be angry with him. Allah never sent you in the world for this. This was not the purpose of you coming to this dunya. So this is the very first thing, is your outlook, your intention. My intention is, I want to save myself from begging. I want to fulfill the needs of my family. And I want to also take care of the interests of people around me. Because when Allah blesses you with wealth, the purpose of blessing you with this wealth is not that you become a high flyer, but it is now you become generous and you use that wealth for the service of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it's very, very important that a person has to be particular of halal and haram. You know, halal, Allah has kept nur and light in halal. Allah has kept strength in halal. A person has got halal and is feeding his family halal. Definitely, he is now heading towards Jannat. He is traversing the route to Jannat because he is only holding on to halal. And haram and doubtful things are like poison. You don't want to bring that in your home. You don't want to feed that to your family. That is why Hazrat Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's father, Hazrat Ismail rahmatullahi alayhi, he's on his deathbed and he says, لا أعلم من مالي درهما من حرام ولا درهما من شبه. I do not know in my wealth of one dirham also from haram sources and one dirham from doubtful sources. There is a famous hadith which Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, from a compilation of 500,000 hadith, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi said, 4 hadiths is sufficient for a person's deen. One of those 4 hadiths is al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun wa baynahuma umurun mushtabihat. Halal is clear and haram is clear, but there'll be many gray areas, there'll be many doubtful areas in between these two. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who protects himself from the doubtful areas, from the grey areas, then he has preserved his deen and he has preserved his integrity and his honor. So this is a very, very important thing. That is why Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned in the past, because there was not the communication that we have got nowadays, when a trader would travel abroad, then he would take a faqih and a mufti with him. Why he was so cautious? I'm going to do a deal there. I don't want to do something wrong. I don't want to make something mistake. I do not want to make a mistake. I do not want to taint my income. So that is why he will take a faqih or a mufti with him. So if he's got any doubts, immediately he will find out, is this permissible or it is impermissible. So this is another very important aspect that the Sharia speaks about, being particular when it comes to halal and haram. Then another very important aspect is truthfulness, being truthful and being trustworthy. These are 2 terms that as time is going, it's as though it's becoming like extinct. Like very few people you'll find that have got these qualities within them. Truthfulness and trustworthiness. The hadith which I mentioned in the khutbah, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the virtue of a trader that has got these qualities. At-tajiru as-saduqul amin. That trader who is truthful, a man of one word, a man of one price. When he gives his word, he honors his word. When he makes a promise, he fulfills his promise. When he gives a price, he doesn't change the price. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that trader, as-saduqul amin, who is truthful, who is trustworthy, who is reliable, ma'an nabiyyin, was-siddiqin, was-shuhada. On the day of Qiyamah, this man never lived his life like a sheikh. He never lived his life in a khanka. He was not a grand mufti of his time. But on the day of Qiyamah, this man will be with the prophets, with the siddiqeen, the very high ranking awliya, and with the martyrs. This is because of these qualities of truthfulness, this quality of him being trustworthy. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about 2 people doing a transaction. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَإِن صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْئِهِمَا. If they are truthful and everything is clear, now I'm sending you something, I know there's some defect in that item, and I disclose that defect of that item to you, that I'm sending you this, but I have to tell you up front, this is the defect in the item. Nabi Sassam says, بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْئِهِمَا. Now they will receive barakah, they will receive blessings in that transaction. And وَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا. If they lie and they conceal the reality, they conceal the defects of the item, مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْئِهِمَا. Then the barakah and the blessings of that transaction is wiped out. So this is something that is so important. That is why you find Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, on one occasion, he had a partner and he gives him a consignment of goods to sell. And in those goods, there's one garment that is defective. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi tells his partner, make sure when you're selling this garment, you inform the purchaser that this one garment has got a defect. When the person comes back, Imam Hanifa inquires, did you inform the purchaser? He says he forgot to inform the purchaser. Immediately, Hazrat Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi takes 30,000 dirhams of profit that he made, 30,000 dirhams, and he gives it out in sadaqah. Why Imam Abu Hanifa was a genius of his time? He was not an ordinary man. He knew that that wealth and that sustenance of his, that will determine the destiny of his progeny and his children. If I'm going to feed my children with something haram, I'm going to feed them with something doubtful, what is going to become of those children? One day they will become delinquents. They will not have any zeal for deen. They will not be people that will be progressive when it comes to deen or in any respect. That is why Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh takes 30,000 dirhams and he gives it in sadaqah, and immediately he dismisses this partner and he says that if you are not particular when it comes to these types of things, then it's better we do not have any dealings with one another. Another occasion, a woman comes, old woman comes to Hazrat Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, and Imam Abu Hanifa is selling a silken garment. So the old woman says, "Inni imraatun da'ifa, oh Imam, I'm an old weak woman. Please sell this to me for your cost." So Imam Hanifa says, "Khudhihi bi arba'ati dirahim." Okay, in that case, take it for 4 dirhams. The woman cannot believe this. This cannot be 4 dirhams. It is too cheap. How can Imam Hanifa sell this cloth for 4 dirhams? How can this be his cost? So she tells him, "La taskhar bi wa ana ajuzun kabira." Please don't play fools with me. I am an old woman now. I am advanced in age. Why are you playing fools with me? Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi then explains to her, look at the level of truth and honesty Hazrat Imam Hanifa had. He says, "See, I brought a parcel with 2 garments inside. The other one, I sold it for a certain price, which already covered my cost. There was only 4 dirhams that was left. That is why I told you, the cost of this is only 4 dirhams." This was the great imams of the past. These were the qualities they had. That is why they became who they became. That is why 1,000 years have passed and we still take their names. And we say, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, this was because of the qualities that they had within them. So this truthfulness and this trustworthiness is a very, very important aspect. Always, we must always be truthful, always be trustworthy. Someone that people can rely on. I know I can rely on this man. If I tell him to do something, I'm not worried about, I'm not afraid that he's going to rob me or he's going to cheat me. This is a very, very important quality. Then also the Sharia teaches us, when we are doing business, or for that matter, throughout our lives, always be prompt in paying off our accounts. Don't hold people back. Don't delay. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith he mentioned, "Matalul ghaniyyi zulmun." The man who got the money and he is procrastinating and he's pulling the creditor for time. This is also one type of a zulm. This is one type of an oppression. This man is a zalim. He is an oppressor in the Sharia. So now when you've got money, you've got to pay people. That is why one senior alim, once he advised the person, he told him, "As you will pay your creditors, that is how Allah will send your rozi to you. That is how Allah will send his gifts to you. If you're going to pull them, you're going to hold back, then Allah is going to hold back his mercy from you. Allah is going to hold back his assistance from you." And often in life, when we come, you know, to a dead end, and we don't know what to do, and we find all sorts of blockages in our lives, and we blame it on everything and anything, sometimes we need to seriously look into this avenue. Sometimes it's people that we are owing money. Years have passed, months have passed, we have even forgotten about those debts. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not forgotten by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows that you are oppressing that man, irrespective of what that man may be worth, irrespective of how much money he has got. That has got nothing to do with you. You got to be very, very particular in paying your debts. You pay your debts and pay on time, pay promptly. In this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you barakah also. Allah will bless you also. Allah will send his mercy. Allah will send his assistance. And Allah will send his guidance to you. Not only just paying people, but the Sharia also teaches us to even pay more than what we have to pay. We look at the habit and the noble life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On many occasions, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam owes someone money, and he's telling the person who is paying off the debt, "Zin wa arjih," that weigh this dirhams, weigh this gold, or weigh this silver, and give him more than what we owe him. More than what we owe him. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, "Ahsanukum, ahsanukum qadaan." The best of you is not only the person who Who is the best? You know, when it comes to tahajjud, or when it comes to hajj and umrah, or when it comes to zikr, the best of you is that person also who is best when it comes to payments. Now you have to pay that money. You know now that money is due. Have that decency of even giving a little bit more. You'll give a little bit more. This is good qualities now. This is good characteristics. You'll find certain pious ulama we have seen, when they would travel, sometimes they have to pay the taxi driver. They have agreed on a certain price. Always they will give the person a little bit more. Never mind, don't give him any less. Rather give him a little bit more. Yunus ibn Ubayd rahmatullah alayhi is a very great muhaddis of his time, and a very great alim of his time. And here a woman comes to sell some jubba, some very exclusive type of a jubba. And the woman tells him, Yunus ibn Ubayd, this jubba is worth 500 dirhams. When he looks at it, he says, no, that's too cheap. Will this ever happen anywhere? He says, that's too cheap. It can never be 500. She says, we'll take it for 600. No, that's too cheap also. Eventually, she puts the price to 1,000, then he buys it. He says, now, let me be considerate to this woman. She's selling this. Let me also understand what is the price of this. Let me not try to take advantage of the situation. We don't have to be those ruthless and hard businessmen where we want to squeeze out every cent from every person and squeeze out from our employees also. No, have that thing of giving someone a little bit more. Little bit more than what is due to him. I'd rather give him a little bit more than give him a little bit less. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala was with another sahabi in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us hadith, la yu'minu abdun hatta yuhibba li akhi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. A banda and a servant can never be a perfect mu'min and believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Look at sahaba, one hadith. How many times we heard this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They go to the marketplace and they bargain for some commodity. That person says, take it for 30 dirhams. The other sahabi says, he looks at it, he says, no, I'll take it for 40. Person says, what is wrong with you? Why do you behave like this? I'm telling you, take it for 30. He says, no. He looks at it again, he says, no, I'll take it for 50. But why are you doing this? Then he says, we just heard this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of you can never be a true believer until he loves his brother what he loves for himself. I thought to myself, if I was selling this commodity, I would sell it for 50 dirhams. So these were the qualities, these were the characteristics in the people of the past. They had these qualities in their life. Another important aspect Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us is to be lenient, be easygoing, don't be very, very hard, don't be very, very tight. What hadith? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself made dua, rahimallahu imran samhan idha ba'a wa idha ishtara wa idha iqtada. May Allah have mercy on that person who is lenient when he sells, when he buys, and when he asks for his money. Now you're asking for your money. In the previous nations there was one person who passed away, and eventually farishtas came and took his ruh away, and then they asked him, what good did you do? The person could not remember any good. Then he says, yes, one quality I remember I had in me, that I would transact with people, but when I would go to collect the money, I was a lenient person, I was not a hard person. On one hand, in payment we should be very good, but when we're collecting, we should be a bit lenient. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, overlook his faults and forgive his sins because of this quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this quality of this person, that he was easygoing. If it was a wealthy person, he never put pressure on him. If it was a poor person, he gave him respite, he gave him time. And Allah loved this quality. Because of this quality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven this person. So this is another very important aspect, that we have to be easygoing. Don't be hard, don't be very tight. Never mind, it's okay. Everything comes from Allah. The more you give, the more you get. A similar incident happens with Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Usman radiallahu ta'ala is doing a deal for an orchard. And here, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu is with Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. He agreed with a certain price. He just had to now shake the person's hand to conclude the deal. That was the trend of the time. And then the person says, no, I want 10,000 dirhams more. So Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu looks at Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, and he says, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدْخِلُ الْجَنَّةِ رَجُلًا كَانَ سَمْحًا بَائِعًا وَمُبْدَعًا وَقَاضِيًا وَمُقْتَدِيًا. Allah will give that man Jannah who is lenient and easygoing when he sells, or when he buys, or when he pays, or when he receives. And he says, just for me to earn this glad tidings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 10,000 dirhams is nothing, but I'm going to earn my Jannah through this. Yeah. This was Sahaba, one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the impact that they had it had on the lives of Sahaba. Respected friends, also, one very important teaching of the Shariat is that we show good character. One of the domains wherein we're going to interact with disbelievers, with non-Muslims, whether they be our clients, whether they be our employees, whether they be our staff, our colleagues in our workplaces, show good character. Good character is a very, very important quality. Islam will not spread through words. Islam will not spread through bayans. We can give bayan upon bayan. But yes, if Islam will spread, it will spread with good character. It will spread with good conduct. The kuffar will look, this person is a Muslim. He claims to have got Islam. Look at what beautiful qualities he has got. Look at what beautiful conduct he has got. Inshallah, if we will display good character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with barakah. Allah will bless us with happiness. That will be a means of Islam spreading. Person will show good character. He will be service orientated. A lot of people are going to purchase in an outlet that's even more expensive only because of service. They're getting a good service, so they're going to that place. If we become service orientated and we show good character, that will also be a means of drawing the barakah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends, the last point here, that very often people will complain. Things are difficult, things are tight. A lot of people tell you, come the end of the month, and I don't know what happens. My salary as though just disappears. But very often if you look in your life, you will find there is a lot of wastage. There's a lot of wastage in our lives, and we have to budget ourselves. You have to budget yourself, and don't let your expenses exceed your income. Whatever income, what's your income? Your expenses has to be within that income. Live within your means. Live within what is your budget. Don't try to imitate other people in life. Yes, what we're supposed to imitate them in, we don't imitate. Imitate the man that is reading 5 paras of Quran. Imitate the man that comes half an hour before Fajr namaz. Imitate that man that never misses the first saf and never misses Takbir-e-Ula. You don't need to imitate people in being a high flyer and in driving expensive cars. No. Live within your budget. Live within your means. As someone put it very beautifully, they said, plug the leaks and fill the bucket. The problem in our life is that there's a lot of leaks. There's a lot of wastage. We need to identify those leaks and plug those leaks, and then we can fill the bucket. And then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with barakah. Just to sum up the points, the main points that were mentioned in this bayan was that our solution to our problems now, our financial problems, is that we need barakah. How we will get this barakah? We need to bring taqwa in our lives. We need to conduct our businesses and our professions in accordance to the teachings of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We spoke about being very correcting our intentions, being particular about halal and haram, also paying our debts promptly, being very, very quick in paying off our debts, and even giving people more and being lenient and showing good character and not wasting. Inshallah, if we bring these qualities in our lives, Allah will bless us with barakah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.